Is there someone in your world that desperately needs to hear about Christ, but you just don't know how to reach him? What if I told you there are 7 different bridges, different ways to reach people? And if you find yours, you just might reach that person. Would you stay with us? Well, then do it.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy. And if you've experienced frustration, fear, or even failure when you've shared your faith, today's message may help you discover how to share your faith more effectively. Today, Chip will conclude his message, Building Bridges to Eternity, with a look at the final 4 approaches to evangelism. Now, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can always hear it online in its entirety by going to lote.org on the web. That's lote.org, and then by clicking on the Listen Online button there on our homepage. Now, here's Chip with today's message, Building Bridges to Eternity.
The 4th way to build bridges to those who don't know Christ, Luke chapter 5, and verse 29 and following. The interpersonal approach is similar to the testimonial approach. It's for those who really like to build longer-term relationships and trust with others. This approach is seen in those who act as an influence in the lives of others. They're people-centered individuals who like deep levels of communication and friendship. Through time and building caring friendships, the testimonial approach is then seen as people observe your life and get to know you. This is Matthew. Matthew was a notorious sinner. Matthew probably says, you know, I'm not like Pete. I'm not going to get up and stand on a box and talk to everybody. And John, he talks to everybody, invites him over all the time. But he says, you know what? I'm pretty rich because I've been ripping people off for years. So I'm going to have a big party. I'm going to have a dinner party. And he invites all of his friends and they all come over and they're having this big dinner party. And you, hey, Matthew, how you doing? He says, Dave, Matt, I got to tell you this one. Was down in Galilee. You know how we usually rip them off 30%? 34% last month. I am doing great. How are you doing? And Matthew says, you won't believe it. I'm just charging people the normal rate now. No. What's wrong with you? Well, actually, a little more lamb over here, please. Could we get a little more wine for my buddy over here? That's why I asked you guys to come. See, something happened. And, you know, we all hang out together because no one else likes us. And I met this fellow named Jesus. He's over here. He's kind of the guest of honor. And my life's changed. And I don't want to rip people off anymore. And I found there's more to life than money. And down deep, like you guys, I felt unbelievable guilt. And I don't like being a social outcast. And I always wanted a life that mattered. But no one accepted me. And I got involved doing what I'm doing because I was trying to find peace and joy and meaning somewhere else. And Jesus let me know that it's only found in him as I have a relationship with God. And guys, I care about you. And I know this is a little different. But Jesus, would you mind going ahead and telling them what you told me? That's what the interpersonal relationship is. It's lifestyle evangelism. Some of you don't feel real comfortable being the verbal person. For most of us regular people, there's going to be the intellectual approach. There's going to be the testimonial approach. There's going to be the interpersonal relationship where you just love people and you do stuff with them and you care about them. Let me give you the strengths and weaknesses of this one. The strengths here are it communicates true care, sensitivity, and concern for the person. It's a genuine friendship of trust. The weaknesses is if you're not careful, you put so much emphasis on the relationship building. You know, friendship, evangelism. You do a lot of friendship, but no evangelism. Personal evaluation, how about you? I can feel the little lights. Hey, you know, I could do this one. I like to cook. I love to have people over. Number 5 is Dorcas service approach. The service approach is for those who express their faith without needing a lot of credit. They do it even behind the scenes. This is also an approach where people share their faith through tangible forms of action, such as feeding the poor, building homes in Mexico, or where Jesus is credited for the motivation, and the action taken is some sort of specific service. And here you have the great passage in Acts chapter 9 with Dorcas. And Peter's coming through. In the early church, as the church grew and grew and grew, God was doing supernatural signs and wonders to authenticate that he was really in this. I mean, think in the early church. Some group says, hey, Jesus is the way to God. And you see idols on every corner and there's a zillion gods. How do you know Jesus is really true? He confirmed it by signs and wonders and miracles. And people were being raised from the dead, and amazing things happened. So Peter is someplace, and someone gets healed, and there's this lady named Dorcas. And in Acts 9, she's described as kind and compassionate and always doing works of service. She's the kind of person that when a mate walks out on another mate, she says, you know, let me take the kids. I know a good counselor. Can I be of help to you? She's the kind of person or the kind of man who says, you know something, I'm not into all that verbal stuff. I'm not one of those touchy-feely guys. I'll tell you what, I can build homes. Sign me up. Send me to Mexico. Or like the doctor who came back and said, I've never done anything like this in my life. I'll do this 3 times a year. When's the next one? Signing up, giving up vacation time to work 12 and 13 hours a day with 15-minute lunch. Why? Because you know something? He can serve. He can use his knowledge and his medical profession as a platform to see people come to Christ. The strengths here are there are a few things that show God's love more than real action. The weaknesses, you got to be very careful that we don't use it as a cop-out and say, I'm loving people so loudly with my actions, I don't need to say anything. It's both and. We serve people radically, and there needs to be a verbal, clear testimony of how people can have a relationship with God through Christ. The sixth bridge builder is the Samaritan woman's invitational approach. This is the approach for those who may not feel as comfortable in directly sharing their faith, especially for young Christians, but feel comfortable inviting someone to church or a growth group or a special event, a musical, a BBC, a Tuesday night dinner, you name it. And the pattern here is that classic story in John 4. You remember that one? Jesus is on his way, and he's going to go to Jerusalem, and he's got to go through Samaria. And the Samaritans hated the Jews. I mean, they are at each other like, you know, Hatfield-McCoy years and years. The boys, you know, the disciples, they go for lunch. We'll bring you some back. Jesus is tired. He's sitting down. It's in the heat of the day. All the women have already gotten the water for the day. But this woman of ill repute, she went out during the hot part of the day because she was a social outcast. And so she's there drawing water. God has sovereignly set this up. And Jesus says to her, ma'am, if you knew the living water that I have, you would ask for it and I would give it to you. And she says, sounds like a good deal to me. Where do I get it? And he says, well, why don't you go check, you know, call your husband and I'll tell you both. And she says, well, I don't really have a husband. Loose translation of the text, honey, that's the biggest understatement I've heard in a long time. Fact of the matter is, you're living with a guy and you've had 5 husbands. And she says, oh, you must be a prophet. And she tries to get him sidetracked and talking about worship. He says, no, we're not going there, babe. Here's what you need to understand. The Father sent me so that you could know. People with backgrounds like yours, people who feel unworthy, people who have violated all kind of sexual standards and feel deep, deep shame. The Father sent me to let you know he is seeking and pursuing anyone who would worship him in spirit and truth. He loves you, and he loves you right where you're at. He'll change your life. She says, could you be the Messiah? He said, you got it. And she goes back to town. This group of people that hate Jews and a woman that no one respects goes back to town and say, I want to tell you about a man who told me everything about my life. Come and see. Could this be the Messiah? And the people come out in hordes. Tons of people come to Christ 2 days later. They turn to her, the social outcast, and say, you know, we came because of your invitation. But now we believe because we have personally interacted. Here's how it ends. Truly, he is the Savior of the world. I mean, personal evaluation on a scale of 1 to 10, this is like falling off a log. You don't have to know anything. This is saying to one of the little kids, would you like to come to Vacation Bible School? This is saying to someone, would you like to come to church and hear about this series? This is like saying, hey, you know, we got a group of people and a growth group and we're studying about marriage. Would you like to learn about marriage and just join for 5 or 6 weeks? If you don't want to come after that, it's okay. The strengths are, it doesn't take a lot of knowledge. You don't have to know much. It's just a matter of stepping out and asking people to come to a place where you know they'll hear it clearly, winsomely, and without being having something pushed down their throat. The weaknesses are, that's a good place to start, but don't stay there. And that's the invitational approach. On a scale of 1 to 10, like by faith, put a 7 there, okay? You can do that. Last one. Now, I didn't have a passage for this one, so I didn't call it a biblical approach. I called it the church history's culturally creative approach, because this has happened all throughout church history. Here's the concept. This approach seeks to cultivate one's ability in music, art, drama, dance, sports, photography, you add whatever else, as a means to express and communicate the gospel in a culturally relevant manner. See, this takes seriously 1 Corinthians 10:31. This says, whatever you do. I mean, what does that include? Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. And so that's why you have in the early years, Bach writes Ode to Joy. Bach wanted to express his love for God. Handel, he wouldn't let people, when he was writing the Messiah, he closed the door and they were concerned about him. He stayed in there so long, sometimes 24 hours at a time. He said it was like heaven opened up and he had a vision of who God was and he wrote Handel's Messiah. Later on, if you travel in Europe, you see what? You see these cathedrals. I mean, they weren't having architectural contests. They wanted to build something that would be a picture of their relationship and their love to God, that when people would come into a town, they would see it. Rembrandt, if you've ever seen his picture of the prodigal, and if you do some research on his life, he's giving a testimony of what God is doing in his life. Now, the same is true now. Frames. Art and expression and music and poetry reading and had all these walls in here and the lights were down low and they had candles and artists from all over the area. And we had hundreds of people come in for 2 days and walk around. And I'll never forget, there's a young lady named Magdalene. And I didn't even know she was an artist. They listened on the radio and made a connection. She's got a heart for people that don't know Christ, but she just doesn't feel like she can verbalize. And so she like buys tons of tapes and sends them to everybody. Well, I'm walking through this night, got a cup of coffee and a little band playing, and this feels like, you know, out of the kind of beatnik 60s type deal, you know, and all these people are around. And there's a group gathered over here where her art is. And her husband's there, and they're both Chinese. And so, you know, his picture is right there, and it's rather distinctive, really neat, that she's painted. And so I say, Andrew, is that you? And he goes, yeah, it's me, you know. And then there's this picture that kind of draws you. And it was like just unique. And it was a picture of a little girl kind of like this. And then there was darkness around it. And then I can't remember all. But I mean, it was like a picture that you went zip. And so I got off because I had the same response to it. And some people behind me, they said, wow, what is that picture? Her response was, that's very personal. They said, would you mind sharing a little of it? She said, yeah. That's a picture of what it was like when I grew up as a little girl. And the darkness represents, and I mean, then she just walked him through what her life was like, what God had done, and what was available to them. It's, how can we be culturally relevant? How could God use a skill that you have? How could God take what you have, what you're good at, what you love? I mean, I got to play basketball all over South America. And at halftime, because people like basketball, I could tell them, this is how I found Christ. This is how you can find Christ. Are you starting to get that you don't have to have some little illustration and pigeonhole people, but God can use you? Now, the strengths of this one is that we can be really relevant to our culture. Man, we can do amazing things. We can really get outside of the box and be creative. You can use what you're good at and what you like. The weaknesses, be very careful. Often the means can overshadow the message. We get so culturally relevant that you can't hear or see the real message. Christine went to a big Christian concert. She said there were like 40,000 people there. And some band got up and it was like, that's a rendition of it. And she said, I mean, this isn't like some old lady. This is not like me saying I don't understand the words. When I say that, my son turns to me and says, Dad, what's wrong with you? I can understand everything. This is like a 27-year-old saying, I don't understand the words at all. And then going up to the band and saying, I don't understand a single word. They go, oh, we know. What do you mean, you know? Well, we write them on the jacket of the CD, and we're hoping people will buy the CD, and then they'll read it, and they'll understand the words. And the music is so dissonant, but they said, the kids really like this. If it's so culturally relevant, but you lose the message, you blew it. You blew it. Sometimes we're leaning so far into our culture to reach it, we've fallen in. And there's not a nickel's worth of difference between us and them. Winsome, holy, clear, concise, and relevant. They all go together. 1 to 10, how about you? Now let me wrap it up by just a question or two. The first is, which of these approaches, what do you think? Which of these approaches kind of light your fire the most? The confrontational, intellectual, testimonial? Which one of these could you say, you know, I could invite someone? Or the culturally relevant? Which one of these? Service, man. Tell me when that next trip is to Mexico. I'll build something. Second question is, have you realized that you can be free? You can use a combination of these, but do you realize this is for all of us? Question number three is, which one of these could you take at least some small step to putting into practice this week? Because, you know, the goal is not that we all sit here and say, hey, great, there's seven ways instead of one. I feel a little more comfortable and this time next week or the next week or the next week. If you're not sharing the love of Christ, that means people with needs don't hear. There's seven ways to get there, maybe 10, maybe 20, I don't know. I can find six in Scripture and one in church history. What I'm saying is, just get liberated and take a little step, okay, toward loving people. Homework, do you remember what it was? That you were going to identify yourself as a believer. You're going to pray for five people for 6 weeks every day. Initiate a spiritual conversation with someone you believe doesn't know Christ. A little riskier, but you can do it. Just initiate the conversation. You initiate the conversation. Would you like to talk about spiritual things? What kind of church background do you come from? Have you ever wondered about? And if they say, no, I don't want to talk about it, then you come back and say right on your notes, okay, I did my homework. Because that's all you have to do. God will take care of people's responsiveness. All I'm saying is take a step out, okay? Initiate a spiritual conversation and see what God might do. If those of you are getting kind of pumped up and saying, I'd love to go through this personally or with a small group, a lot of the materials out of this book called Becoming a Contagious Christian by Bill Hybels and Mark Middleberg, I'd encourage you to pick that up. Really might give you some help. Now, ready? You just have a personal conversation with God. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal which one or two of these has He designed you in a way to share, and then just ask Him, Lord, who's a person or two? Bring them to my mind. I'm willing. I'll do whatever you want. I'm scared, but I'm willing. Would you bring a couple people to my mind that I might serve or invite or share my testimony or give them a tape that would answer some intellectual questions or whatever? Ask God. He'll show you.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. And Chip's talk today, Building Bridges to Eternity, is from his popular series, Going Public with Your Faith. If the thought of sharing your faith makes you uneasy or uncomfortable, this series is for you. Going Public with Your Faith goes beyond the basics to help you discover your evangelism style, and then prepares you to tell others about Christ in the way that God designed you to communicate. You'll learn the proven methods for sharing your testimony. And you'll understand how to effectively witness to those people God has placed around you. Going Public with Your Faith is a 5-part CD series, and it's available right now from Living on the Edge for a special on-air discount price. You know, there's no greater joy than leading someone to Christ and watching God change a life for eternity. Call Living on the Edge today at 1-888-333-6003. That's 1-888-333-6003 for complete pricing and ordering information for the series Going Public with Your Faith. Now, in addition to our current series, Chip has another great resource that he would like to share with you this month. It's a CD series called Why I Believe. Now, Chip is joining us here in studio to talk about this life-changing resource. Chip, what I heard as you began to talk today about the various styles of evangelism is that it frees a lot of us up, but it also terrifies some of us. Now, no matter what our evangelism style is, all of us are going to be faced with questions that we won't be able to answer. And I know this month we're trying to help solve this for many of our listeners. I want to take a moment and tell us a little more about this powerful resource.
Well, Dave, thanks. It's a series called Why I Believe. It's one, actually, in the last 2 years that we've had the greatest response to of anything we've ever put on the air. I have friends that work in professions, as in physical therapy, doctor's offices, some social worker type people who, as they meet people, they just say, look, just listen to the series. Let me know what you think. You know, if you've ever thought about, you know, could God care about you? Some of the big questions you struggle with are in this series. Would you just listen to it? No pressure. I would love to know what you think. And they are seeing literally hundreds of people come to Christ. And so we want to put this tool, Why I Believe, into the hands of every single person listening so they can put it in the hands of someone that God loves and wants to reach.
Well, thanks, Chip. For a limited time, we're making this series, Why I Believe, available for a gift of any amount. It's our way of saying thank you for your support of Living on the Edge. Now, to take advantage of this special offer, call Living on the Edge today at 1-888-333-6003. That's 1-888-333-6003 with your gift of any amount, and we'll send you your copy of the five-part CD series, Why I Believe. That number again is 1-888-333-6003, 1-888-333-6003. Now here's Chip with some closing thoughts from today's message.
In today's broadcast, we talked about building bridges to people that don't know Christ. And if you happen to have missed our last broadcast, you'll notice that you got four today, and I gave three in our last broadcast. If you have a pencil or pen, let me give you the seven bridges, and then I want to help you discern which one might be yours and how to put this into practice so that that person that you care about but you don't know quite how to reach, they might just get reached through you. Are you ready? Seven ways, seven styles, seven bridges that God uses ordinary people like you and me to reach others for Christ. Number one, Peter's confrontational approach. Jot down Acts 2. You can study it for yourself. That's people who kind of walk up, never met a stranger, share the gospel. Two, Paul's intellectual approach, Acts 17. Those are the thinkers, the question askers, the intellectuals. Three, the blind man's testimonial approach, John 9. This is where you just don't worry about all the details and say, this is what happened to me. This is my personal experience. Then we built on that, and number four was Matthew's interpersonal approach, Luke chapter 5. Throw a party, build a relationship of networks. Maybe that's you. Number six was Dorcas's service approach, Acts chapter 9. You know, she served people. She loved people. She did the behind-the-scenes, non-limelight things where people scratch their head and say, why did you mow my yard? And why did you offer to take care of my kids? And why did you bring food when my wife was in the hospital and I don't even know you? And then you get a chance to share the gospel. Number six was the Samaritan woman's approach, John 4. It's invitational. And this is where you say, we're having a musical at church, or you know someone that's having a little barbecue, and you say, would you like to go to this barbecue? And he's going to share a little bit about how God changed his life. You know, this one doesn't take a lot of knowledge. It doesn't take a lot of background. You just invite them. And then the seventh, which is actually very exciting, I drew this from church history. I call it church history's culturally creative approach. And this is where you take a unique ability or desire that you have in the arts or sports or drama or music or writing or photography, and you say, how could I use that as a platform for the gospel? And I shared here how we did this kind of like art show. And people would walk up and look at a picture and ask someone, what does that mean? And they would just lay out the gospel and say, wow. Or some of you play music and you can write a song, and in the lyrics, you communicate your faith. Isn't it exciting that God, in his great creativity and his awesome love, has multiple bridges to reach people? Now, of those seven, what are the top two for you? I mean, if you just had to put an invisible gun to your head and say, I'm not really sure, but if I had to choose one or two, I'd lean toward those. Could you mentally jot those down? Now, here's your assignment this week. Build a bridge toward someone this week that way. Now, if it's a dinner party and interpersonal approach, at least get it on the calendar or sit down and talk with the wife or husband or some other single people and say, this is what I want to do. So decide which approach fits you best. Give it a try. God will honor it.
Well, thanks, Chip. As we wrap up today's program, let me remind you that Living on the Edge is now on TV. That's right. You can watch Living on the Edge each Monday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on DirecTV Channel 378. This new television program has the same great teaching from Chip Ingram, and it's a great way to introduce others to the ministry or to the gospel. That's Living on the Edge TV. Each Monday night at 7 Eastern on DirecTV Channel 378. Well, join us again tomorrow as Chip continues our current series, Going Public with Your Faith. For Chip Ingram and the entire staff at Living on the Edge, I'm Dave Druey. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge.